Sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, on Pew Bible page 444. Let us hear God's word this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they all stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after: to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above all my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, or false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And then our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, on Pew Bible page 844. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it leads us and guides us and keeps us. When it comes to us, it challenges us, but also brings us comfort. It helps us so that we might live out our calling in this world as we serve you for the kingdom that is to come. Gracious God, listen to us, but also open our hearts and minds to your word, so it may move, it may challenge, and it may motivate us to serve you. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Amen. It's funny, because when Sarah and I looked at the lectionary, and Sarah said to me, "So, are you preaching on chickens?" I might have rolled my eyes a little bit and then said, "Yeah." So that you know we have chickens that are hatched and eventually going to be cooped in the backyard. Mm-hmm. No roosters, mind you. And needless to say, this really spoke this week as I considered a bird looking after its young. That being said, we don't exactly have to look after like a hen, that is. Now, there's a very small few verses here, but quite a bit going on. Quite a bit to talk about. The first piece is the overwhelming idea that Herod is coming. Herod the king. But really, it's just the tip of the iceberg that he's coming. Now, before we go any further, we need to consider who Herod is. He's not a guy you want to mess with. We see Herod later when he's tossing Jesus around like a political hot potato with Pontius Pilate. But where we've met him before is when John the Baptist has been critical of him marrying his brother's wife. And there's the whole story of dancing and the like, and John losing his head. So a man who doesn't balk at political murder of dissidents or those who call him out on his issues is coming to get Jesus. Let's also remember the proximity of John to Jesus. John isn't just a prophet. He isn't just any old prophet. He is the voice crying out in the wilderness. He is the precursor to Christ. But even more than that, he is a familial relation to Christ. And so we see this threat looming. And as we begin in verse 31, we see a group of the Pharisees coming. It's not to say that every Pharisee is against Jesus. It's also not to say that suddenly the Pharisees like Jesus. But it speaks to how wide that group of people is. How wide the number of Pharisees are. But maybe you're a pessimist and you don't see Jesus' best interest in their words, and they're seeking through this threat of Herod that they've just told Jesus about, that they're trying to get Jesus to leave. But what does Jesus do in this very real, very tangible threat? Whatever. It's no big deal. You go tell him that I'm going to be right here. You go tell him that I'm busy. I don't have time for him. Now, if this was anything one but Jesus, we'd be a little more impressed, wouldn't we? But the reality is, because it's Jesus, we're like, oh, okay. This is the man who scared Jesus' father enough. Not the father, but Joseph, enough that when an angel warned him that Herod was coming, it was time to go down and hide in Egypt. Think about that. Think about how this man's family has loomed as a threat and has seen Jesus as a threat from the very beginning when the wise men came, when they killed all the young children in Bethlehem. To think that this threat is any less because of who Jesus is really ignores the fact that Jesus scares Herod. Jesus scares him to the point where he doesn't know what to do. And Jesus calls him that fox. Tells him that I'm casting out demons. I'm performing cures for the next 2 days. Then on the third day, I'm going to go. But I don't care that you're coming. I don't care that Herod's coming. I mean, his blood pressure doesn't even seem to spike one point in this. Because Jesus is doing the work of the Father. He is doing his job, his calling. He might see and understand this tangible threat in his world, but he doesn't care because he's busy. He's busy with serving the Father. He lists off all of his business that he's got, all the things he's going to do. He is cool as a cucumber, and he isn't going to budge. We see this throughout history, throughout the many moments. You have these glimmers of courage in some of the early reformers. Jan Hus. We see Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms going, "Here I am, I can do no other." We see men willing to serve God just as Christ stood in front of Herod. He even has a little something to say to Herod. Now, a fox isn't just a sly animal. It's one that just destroys. It's good for nothing. It's just a destroyer. If we're sticking with that chicken idea, all it does is get into the coop and kill everything. But within its own context, it's a descriptor of an insignificant or worthless man. Think about that. This very real, tangible threat looming, and what does Jesus say about him? You are insignificant compared to what I'm doing, compared to the job I'm doing for the Father. You don't matter compared to the Father. The rest of the world hears that Herod's coming, and they are lighting out of town like they are on fire. They are running. They are getting out of there. It's like kids when they're misbehaving and they hear the principals down the hallway. They are running. But Jesus isn't concerned. He isn't worried. He doesn't even bat an eye. I'm here. I'm serving my Father. Tell him he doesn't matter. Tell him I'm right here. When we look at Jesus being so not concerned, there's almost this, how can't you be worried? Herod has shown who he is. He's not a polite guy. He's not the kind of guy you invite over for dinner because you don't know what all he's going to do. But Jesus isn't worried about him because his trust, his confidence, his concept of power is in the greatness and power of the Father. Whatever Herod does or can do, Jesus doesn't care about because it doesn't matter, because he's on a mission from God. He is on a mission from the Father, and that is what matters. If big, bad Herod comes, so what? And this isn't a naive ignorance where you don't know that danger is coming. Like when kids tread on a bad step when they didn't know it was bad. Or when you don't quite know how bad things are going to be before you do something. Like that project you take on and then you find, well, rot in one of the support beams and rot in another support beam and then. Sorry, do I have steeple issues? But the reality is, what Jesus does here is not worry about Herod, but lament the people. Lament that they've had to kill or tried to kill the prophets in the past. This is one of those moments where instead of Jesus running, he laments how the people have refused or ignored to come and follow. They have refused to follow the Father. They have refused to follow him. In this moment of live threat, Jesus is taking the time to be sad, to be sad about how all of these people have ignored the call of the Father. It's strange to see the courage of Jesus in this moment, because in this moment, he is more worried about the apostasy, the falling away that Israel has gone through, the walking away from God, than he is about his own safety. And as we see the journey that will proceed all the way to Easter, we see that commonality, that he is willing to risk everything for us. He is willing to do whatever it takes to serve the Father. Think about last week when we talked about him being tempted in the wilderness. When he's tempted and constantly is told, well, do this, Jesus, do this. Turn the stones into bread. Here there is a temptation for him to respond aggressively to Herod. Think about how, when you think about the fight or flight that this is, what would he do? What could he do? He's the Son of God. Oh, Herod's coming for me? Well, let me come for him. Oh, Herod's coming? Let me run away from him. Those are the normal human responses to a moment like this. And yet Jesus is going to continue to serve the Father. The normal human response, the temptation here, is to bow and be intimidated by power, to bow and be cowed by power. The threat might be looming, but Jesus cares more about serving the Father. There's a great story from out of the UK. When a man was preaching in Westminster Abbey, and the king was sitting in the congregation. And the minister, as he does, starts to preach, and he realizes there's a moment in that, because he says, "Latimer, Latimer, the king is here. Be careful what you say." But then he changed it. "Latimer, Latimer, the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you say." The challenge here, brothers and sisters, is not worrying about the power outside, but knowing that the power inside is so much greater, so much more powerful. Herod, I'm sure, thought he was the most powerful in his land. But he's not. He's not. And we see the trust that Christ has in God. That trust that is so marrow deep within him. Trust that the Father is with him. Trust that the Father's plan will happen as the Father plans it. Temptation is very much here. Him. Remember, I said last week that Jesus isn't facing just those temptations in his ministry, but he is tempted all the way along throughout his ministry. The temptation here is for him to worry more about Herod than about serving the Father. It's worrying about outside factors, outside pressures, outside alliances. and instead focusing on serving the Father. For Jesus, the mission, his mission, his calling was to serve the Father. And it isn't gonna matter how much pressure is put on him to stop, to change, to soften his message, to not do those things, to not upset the Pharisees, to not upset Herod. He is only preaching and teaching and serving an audience of one. Brothers and sisters, guess who we are preaching and teaching and working and serving as well? We're serving an audience of one as well. And that's the challenge for us, to remember that all the pressures on us outside don't matter, no matter how heavy they get, because the one thing that we are called to do is to serve and follow God. That's our audience. That's our audience. That's our person we're serving. That's who's with us. That's who we're there with. Our audience of one. Brothers and sisters, whatever pressure we might feel, may God give us the strength to know when we are doing God's will, when we are doing right, when we are serving him. May we have the conviction and the firm ground to stand firm in our faith, to stand firm and serve our Lord, no matter what the challenges are, what the pressures are. May we serve him above all else. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our gifts.